Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chandravegh on the City of Paranjan, text number 11. By the way, this is probably, Prabhupada really wrote long purports. This is one of the longest purports in the book. Therefore, we're going to cut the responsive chanting down. First come, first serve. Ide chakratu birgorar Dikshita pashu marakai Devan pitrin bhuta patin Nana kamo yata bhavan. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King Prachinibarhishat, like you, King Paranjana also became implicated in many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals." Please repeat. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King Prachibarhishat, like you, King Paranjan, also became implicated in many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals." Purport. In this verse, the great sage Narada discloses that the character of Paranjana was being described to give lessons to King Prachinibarhishat. Actually, the entire description was figuratively describing the activities of King Prachinibarhishat. In this verse, Narada frankly says, "like you, Yata Bhavan," which indicates that King Paranjan is none other than King Prachinibarhishat himself. Being a great Vaishnava, Narada Muni wanted to stop animal killing and sacrifices. He knew that if he tried to stop the king from performing sacrifices, the king would not hear him. Therefore, he is describing the life of Paranjana. But in this verse, he first discloses the intention, although not fully, by saying, "like you." Generally, the karmis who are attached to increasing descendants have to perform so many sacrifices and worship so many demigods for future generations, as well as to satisfy so many leaders, politicians, philosophers, and scientists to make things go on properly for future generations. The so-called scientists are very eager to see that future generations will live very comfortably, and as such, they are trying to find different means of generating energy to drive locomotives, cars, airplanes, and so on. Now they're exhausting the petroleum supply. These activities are described in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41. Vyavasayatnaka buddhir ekaha kuru nandana bahu shaka inantascha buddhayo vyavasayanam. Those who are on the spiritual path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Actually, those who are knowledge of everything are determined to execute Krishna consciousness. But those who are rascals, mudhas, sinners, diskritina, and the lowest among mankind, Naradama, who are bereft of all intelligence, maya, aparita, jnana, and who take shelter of the demoniac way of life, asaram, bhavam, ashritya, are disinterested in Krishna consciousness. As such, they become implicated and take on so many activities. Many of these activities center around the killing of animals. Modern civilization is centered around animal killing. Karmis are advertising that without eating meat, their vitamin value or vitality will be reduced. So, to keep oneself fit to hard work one must eat meat. And to digest meat, one must drink liquor. And to keep the balance of drinking wine and eating meat, one must have sufficient sexual intercourse to keep fit, to work hard, very hard like an ass. There are two ways of animal killing. One way is in the name of religious sacrifices. All the religions of the world except the Buddha's have a program for killing animals in places of worship. According to Vedic civilization, the animal eater is recommended to sacrifice a goat in the temple of Kali under certain restrictive rules and regulations and eat the flesh. Similarly, they are recommended to drink wine by worshipping the goddess Chandika. The purpose is restriction. People have given up all this restriction. Now they are regularly opening wine distilleries and slaughterhouses and indulging in drinking alcohol and eating flesh. A Vaishnavacharya like Narada Muni knows very well that persons engaged in such animal killing in the name of religion are certainly becoming involved in the cycle of birth and death, beginning the real aim of life to go back home, back to Godhead. Thus the great sage Narada, while instructing Srimad Bhagavatam to Vyasadeva, condemned the karmakanda, fruit of activities mentioned in the Vedas. Narada told Vyasadeva, Jugupsitam dharmakrite nu shataha. Jugupsitam dharmakrite nu shasata. Sabhava raktasya mahan vitikrama. Yad vyakyato dharma ititarashtito. Namanyate tasya nivaranam jana. People in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and hardly care for the prohibitions. Bhagavatam 1.5.15. Srila Narada Muni chastised Vyasadeva for compiling so many Vedic supplementary scriptures which are all intended for guiding the people in general. Narada Muni condemned these scriptures because they do not mention direct devotional service. Under Narada's instructions, direct worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, was set forth by Vyasadeva. The conclusion is that neither the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, nor his devotee ever sanctions animal killing in the name of religion. Indeed, Krishna incarnates himself as Buddha to put an end to animal killing in the name of religion. Animal sacrifice under the name of religion is conducted by the influence of tamogun, the mode of ignorance, as indicated in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 18:31-32. Ya dharmam madharmam cha karyam eva cha ayatavat prajanati. Buddhi saparta rajasi adharma dharmam iti ya manite tamasavritaha sarvatan viparitamsha buddhi saparta tamasi. That understanding which cannot distinguish between the religious way of life and the irreligious, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, that imperfect understanding, O son of Pritha, is in the mode of passion. That understanding which considers irreligion to be irreligion, to be religion, and religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion and darkness, and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Those who are involved in the mode of ignorance manufacture religious systems for killing animals. Actually, Dharma is transcendental. As Lord Sri Krishna teaches, we must give up all other systems of religion and simply surrender unto him. Sarva Dharman Prajaja. Thus the Lord and his devotees and representatives teach the transcendental Dharma, which does not allow animal sac killing at all. At the present moment, it is the greatest misfortune that in India so many missionary workers are spreading a religion in the name of religion. They claim an ordinary human being to be God and recommend meat eating for everyone, including so-called sannyasis. EJ Chakriti Birgaurar Dikshita Pashumarakai Devan Pitrin Bhutapatin Nana Kamo Yatabhavan The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King Prachinivarishat, like you, King Paranjan also became implicated in so many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which are all very ghastly because they are inspired by the desire to kill animals." Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutte Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. This conversation is going on in Satyuga. So in Satyuga we wouldn't expect that there would be so many sacrifices. But somehow or another, King Prachibarhishat is engaged in many Vedic rituals. The purpose of Vedic rituals is to fulfill desires, because as long as we have no means to fulfill our desires, then we go crazy, because the desires, as Krishna says, avritam gana etena ganino nitivarina kamarupena kuntiya dusprena analena cha. Thus the man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in a form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So to have a fire in our consciousness, which has two qualities, never satisfied and always burning us, is very unpleasant. Therefore, the Vedas are rituals to provide the means by which one can get sufficient amount of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. In other words, although Vedic rituals may be very complicated, but Krishna says, anad bhavati bhutani, that all living entities exist on food grains. In other words, first of all, Vedic rituals are aimed at getting food. Anad bhavati bhutani. Parjana anasambhava. In order to get food, we need rain. Jagna bhavati parjanyo, jagna karma samudbhava. In order to get rain, we need sacrifice. Jagna vai Vishnu. In other words, unless there is sacrifice to Vishnu, the demigods will not be pleased and will not supply the rain, proper sunlight, proper wind, nothing will go on, and therefore it will be increasingly more difficult to get food. Anad, food which is actually nourishing the body and the mind, sometimes they say the soul also. Now we may think we have food, but food, Krishna says, has certain qualities. In the mode of goodness at least, ayu sattva bala roga. It's supposed to increase the duration of life. Not that you eat the food and who knows what's going to happen to you. People eat food, they get food poisoning, they get sick. So many things happen. Ayu bala. It's supposed to give physical strength. Not that I eat the food and the next thing that looks beautiful to me is my bed. I become irresistibly attracted to the bed, just like a magnet draws iron. But it's supposed to give strength. If after we're eating we feel tired, like we want to go to sleep, then the food had the opposite effect. Ayu bala bala roga. And it's supposed to take away disease. Not that after I eat, the only thing I can meditate upon is the food, where it's, how it crashed into my stomach. And I feel very uncomfortable. Ayu bala bala roga. Sukha priti. It's supposed to give happiness, priti, and satisfaction. Sukha priti. Vivardhana. It's supposed to increase those things. Rasa, it's supposed to be full of juice, snigda, and fatty. Rasa, snigda, sterira, and rida, and it's supposed to be pleasing to the heart. So this is in the mode of goodness. Of course, there are other kinds of food, as Krishna says, which are katlama, katvamala, Kattu. Kattu is strongly. Kattu is spicy or sharp. Actually, that's tiksha, which means it's, what do they call that? Pungent. Amla. And it's, amla is sour. Katvamla, lavana, salty, tiksha, and very sharp. So things that are too spicy, too bitter, or a katu, I guess, is bitter. Bitter, too sour, too salty. Just extreme taste. Just excite the senses. Said to be the mode of passion. The result of that is dukkha shokamaya prada. It increases disease, amla. In other words, things that are too intense become indigestible to the body. The body can't handle it, and the result is it produces am, or becomes undigested. And dukkha, therefore, the space in the body gets filled up with all kinds of undigested food, and we feel very uncomfortable physically and mentally. And then, of course, then there is the mode of ignorance. Yata yamam katara sam puti purushatam chayat. Yata yamam. It's stale, it's tasteless, and it's decomposed. So this is generally considered like, especially animals, dead flesh. In order to eat dead flesh, you have to let it decompose. If you try to eat a piece of flesh which is not decomposed, you break your teeth. Or you just sit there the whole day chewing on your first piece of flesh. Because our teeth are not meant to grind up flesh. As a matter of fact, no one's teeth are really meant to grind up flesh. Even the tigers, if you look at their teeth, they don't grind the flesh. They just bite it off and swallow it, and their stomach dissolves it. So dead flesh, no one can dissolve up, no one grinds up, unless you have a hamburger machine or something. But even that, they wait till it decomposes. So these are all qualities in the different modes of material nature. If one is eating in the mode of ignorance, then the result is he's going to get the qualities in the mode of ignorance. Eating in the mode of ignorance, is especially as Prabhupada mentions here, is eating dead animals. So why do people like to eat dead animals? Because that's the mode of nature that they're in. In other words, if we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we must be in one of the modes of material nature. Everyone is looking for satisfaction and happiness, and in the modes of nature, satisfaction, happiness means to serve the ever, especially in ignorance and passion, the ever-demanding senses. Put out the fire. When the fire is put out, then we feel some kind of relief, some peace for that moment. So in the modes of ignorance, the fire is demanding flesh. So why is it demanding flesh? Because Prabhupada writes here that when one is engaged in sinful activities in the mode of ignorance, there's a whole lifestyle. It is not that people just eat flesh and then they go back and chant their Vedic hymns. No, there's a whole lifestyle surrounding the modes of ignorance. That is, as Prabhupada writes here, if one is engaged in the mode of ignorance, the stomach is demanding flesh, and in order to digest the flesh, one needs alcohol to digest the flesh. Because when it hits the stomach, the digestive juices can't handle it. Therefore, they need some help, assistance. And then, after eating flesh and drinking alcohol, everyone looks beautiful. The senses demand that they must be gratified. Every sense becomes more and more demanding. And therefore, at first, it's man, woman, then man, man, woman, woman, man, animal, anything goes. Dead body, whatever. because everything becomes attractive in order to gratify the ever increasingly demanding senses. That's in the mode of ignorance. And of course, passion means that we're willing to not immediately gratify our senses in the grossest possible way, because we want to develop a methodology of gratifying the senses in a more sophisticated way. In the mode of passion, we don't jump on the animal like in ignorance and tear out its throat with our teeth and then suck its blood. No, we wait until we go to a nice restaurant and we have our fork and knife and a nice place and the waiter, and then we take the animal and we grab its flesh with our teeth and suck out its blood. So we become a little bit more civilized in the way we suck blood. And we praise each other for your much more sophisticated blood sucker than I am. How, I'm your student. Please teach me. And we give rewards to the people who have the most beautiful way of sucking blood, Academy Awards or Pulitzer Prizes. So this is all in ignorance. That's in passion. But it's just like a vulture goes very high in the sky. But what's his business? He's simply looking around on the bottom, on the ground, to see where there's a dead body. So he's much higher than any other bird, but he has the same objective. But on the other hand, sacrifice is meant to regulate our activities. Jagna vai Vishnu. Why do we want to regulate our activities? Just so we can... What's the purpose? Well, ultimately the purpose we've heard is so that we can become Krishna conscious. And what's the purpose? How do we become Krishna conscious? Well, in every age, the process is the same. It's hearing. It is said, Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Especially in Kali Yuga, Krishna has advented himself in the form of the holy name. Actually, in every Kali Yuga, Krishna comes as a holy name, but this is a special Kali Yuga because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally teaching us how to chant the holy name in a certain mood of separation. But in any case, Krishna always is his holy name. When Prahlad Maharaj was burning in the pot of oil, he was also remembering Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna or something like that. Maybe Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, Om Narayana, something. In any case, the holy name is always non-different from Krishna, but in this age, we're fortunate because we don't have to perform Vedic sacrifices, we don't have to engage in meditation, and even deity worship is not the most significant part of Kali Yuga for spiritual advancement. Why? Basically because we have nothing. We have nothing to offer in the sacrifice. We don't even know how to perform a sacrifice. We have no ability to be regulated, hardly. And we have no concentration. Our minds are everywhere, following wherever our senses are demanding that they go. Therefore, we can't meditate. We can't perform sacrifice. We have no ability to regulate our lives and engage them in Krishna's service. Therefore, Krishna is very merciful. If we simply ask him to engage in his service, then he gives us that ability proportionally to our sincerity. So what is that sincerity in this age? The sincerity is to give up our mental concoctions. The fact that, of course, we do have something. It's not that there's nothing at all in Kali Yuga, but it's so minimal. The food is unattractive. People can't sleep. Their relationships are very unfulfilling, and they're always full of anxiety. Therefore, they're desperate for some kind of satisfaction, and therefore they're most eligible to get that satisfaction if they have faith in the Hare Krishna mantra. Because if one can simply give up, the other idea is that I can become happy in Kali Yuga and simply listen to the holy name with attention and respect, if not with reverence, or even better than that, with appreciation. And if one can do that, then one can actually enter into the ocean of transcendental experience, of transcendental bliss, transcendental pleasure, and enlightenment as the reality, as to our spiritual identity, and as to everyone's spiritual identity, and ultimately how Krishna is the Supreme Person. Unfortunately, Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda Mateo, people are lazy, unlucky, etc. And Andaya Tandira Upigimanas, Te Piksha Tantra Uru Dami Bhara. They've created these leaders who are actually not leaders, they're simply cheaters. And people are blindly following them towards the darkest regions of existence, believing their false propaganda that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. People actually have faith like that, that if I can get some money, then I can buy all the paraphernalia necessary for my sense gratification, and if I do that, then one day I'll become peaceful and happy. But this is all just like the carrot is in front of the donkey, and the donkey keeps on moving forward, and the carrot moves forward with him. He never gets the carrot. He simply pulls a heavy burden. So the very society has been created in a practical way to keep the donkeys with their heavy burden moving forward after a carrot that you never really get. The very economic system is based upon keeping people working hard like asses. As I was seeing yesterday in a movie and a documentary, that the very money system is meant to keep people in debt. Because the very money that we have is all based upon, it says 5 euros, but it actually means that they owe the Federal or whatever reserve bank you have 5 euros. So it's actually a debtor's note, the 5 euros. And every time they print up those notes, like in America, they have to pay a certain percentage. So the Federal Reserve Bank gives the government, say, $5. They print up $5. And the American government sends back a note saying, we owe you $5 plus interest. So that's crazy. Obviously, it's just complete madness. But this is the age of madness. In other words, the Federal Reserve Bank did absolutely nothing but print the money. And because they printed the money, therefore, and they gave it to the United States government, therefore the government now becomes a debtor. And for that piece of paper, now they owe so much interest to the Federal Reserve Bank, which they can never pay because their very money is actually a debtor's note. So the more money they print up, the more debt they have. So now the American government has $12 trillion in debt. And if they printed up money to get out of the debt, they'd have more debt. So they can't win, they can't break even. They simply have to work harder and harder without any limit. And with this money, what do? They create things, technology. They create iPhones and iPods now, whatever, iPads, whatever they create. And people think that this will be happiness. But in order to get it, of course, is a profit. You have to work so many hours to get this, just like they were advertising this iPad, that is so cheap. And then someone did a cost analysis. They were selling it for like $600 or something. And they did a cost analysis, which is like 500 euros. They did a cost analysis. It cost them like maybe 150 euros to manufacture. So they're selling it 3 times or 4 times what it actually costs them and saying it's damn cheap, Baba. So people got to work like an ass to get it. And by the time they get done paying for it, then it's already outdated. They've already gotten into debt in order to buy it. They got very little out of it, but the next one will actually solve their problems. So in that way, they keep on working, giving them things to work for, and keeping them in debt so they can ever work harder and have less and less from doing more and more. So now in present society, now the man has to work, the wife has to work. The children, as soon as they become eligible, they can go to work. Everyone's just working, 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 and they actually have less. Everything is deteriorated. The food is deteriorated, the air is deteriorated, the water is deteriorated, their houses have deteriorated, their security is deteriorated. They're working harder and harder and getting less and less and thinking they're making progress because their computers are going quicker. Their brain is going slower, but because the computer is going quicker, they think that's progress. And now they've discovered they don't really need people anymore. All they need is machines. People are useless. It's the machines that count. So the whole thing has become upside down. The machines were supposed to help the people, but now the people are useless. It's the machines, they do the work. And just a few people, they get all the benefit. So everyone has become outdated. And the new model will be the machine. Sorry, we're trading you in for a new iPod or iPad. You yourself will have to be sacrificed. And with your remnants, we'll get the parts for the new machine. So why is this? Because people are sinful, because they're killing animals. Therefore, they've lost their intelligence. Therefore, they've lost the direction of life. They've lost the meaning of life. They lost everything, practically speaking. And they're in madness. But the only thing that's possible in this age is the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, loud enough that people can actually hear it, and the propagation of Krishna consciousness so that people can hear the truth, and those who are little, not completely crazy, those who are not in those categories Prabhupada mentions here, they'll be able to listen. And if they listen, they'll be able to get some direction out of the madness of Kali Yuga, out of the degradation that comes with Kali Yuga, and be able to make some positive progress towards the goal of life. In any case, if anyone has any ears and they hear the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna is present, and although they may block their ears, whatever, it'll have its effect, however subtle at first it may be, but at the end it'll transform Kali Yuga, at least for some time, into something more than Satya Yuga. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Yeah, get out of the cities, go into the farms, grow your own food. Get out of this vicious cycle of hankering after material things, becoming a debtor, and therefore working like an ass in order to fulfill your debts, which you can never fulfill. Because the very system is meant to keep people in debts. And then, after keeping them in unnecessary debt, take away all their assets so they have nothing. And then get them to work even harder just to survive. So the solution is get out of the economic system created by the demons, which is demoniac, which is just a cheating system, and create a real economic system. Otherwise, people will always be subservient to the demons, demoniac system. So as much as we can become self-sufficient and enlightened. Of course, the whole idea is not simply to move into a farm, but is to create a peaceful atmosphere by which we can execute Krishna consciousness without any attachment to the demoniac or to the sinful activities, sinful principles. Not worrying, relying upon Krishna and not becoming attached to feeling subservient to the materialist. So we walk our, as they say, we walk our talk and actually do what's necessary to create a real peaceful atmosphere that people can show a real example of creating a situation by which we can chant Hare Krishna happily. That would be very nice. Of course, for those who are preachers who can live in a spiritual atmosphere, even in the city, then there's no problem. But most of us are not really preachers. Therefore, we should create an atmosphere where we can live peacefully, even if we're not fully engaged in preaching. Yes?
One very practical thing is also to not buy all these products. It's less as possible. I'll take the cheapest one, take a second-hand one, or something.
Yeah, unless we're actually going to really use it for preaching. Then, but if we're just going to play around with it, then better off not to get too much elaborately engaged in it. I mean, we should actually try to chant and hear peacefully. Because if we can hear with a peaceful mind, if somehow or another our mind is peaceful, we're actually listening, then we'll actually discover that Krishna is present in His holy name. If we're there, then we'll realize that Krishna is also there. And if we're somewhere else, hankering and lamenting on some platform, or even philosophically analyzing, then we won't be able, Krishna may be there, but we won't be quite there. So we should actually feel when we're chanting that it's just like a shower of being in presence, feeling Krishna's presence is just like being a shower of spiritual bliss. When we chant the holy name, we hear it. And we're not feeling that, it's because our minds are distracted by other things. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.